Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 33. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 33, verses 1 through 5. While you're turning, I'll read one other passage, and then I'll have two others that I'll be reading to you in a moment. While you're turning to Psalm 33, verses 1 through 5, I'll read Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Psalm 33, verses 1 through 5. Again, we'll read this passage responsively. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Now, I'll turn to two other passages and read for you. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, the Bible says, And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart of their flesh, and I will give it them a heart of flesh. And so Ezekiel 18, verse 31 says, Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here in this place. Lord, each and every day is another page in the history of Christianity in this church. Lord, you've been so good to us this past year. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people saved and lives changed. New families added. Father, please fill our preacher with your power today as he preaches. Change our hearts, change our lives so that we could go out further your kingdom and reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning, of course, we are at the threshold of a new year. I'm going to talk to you about that very thing this morning. I want to talk to you about some New Year's resolutions for Jesus. Oh, we make a lot of resolutions in regard to the world and what would take place in our daily lives. But I wonder if there are not some things that we ought to be committed to for the cause of Christ. Earlier, we read some scripture together. The Bible talks a lot about new things and new things that can be new in our lives. We read in Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 23. It talks about the Lord's mercies being new every morning. And for that, you and I can thank God. Thank God every day when we wake up, God's mercies are new for that day. Oh my, I'm glad his mercies are new every morning. In Ezekiel chapter 11, verse number 13, it spoke of a new spirit. I'm glad that you and I can change our spirit. We can change our attitude. Our spirits can be made new and fresh. Wouldn't it be sad if once you developed a bad attitude, it had to stay bad? Well, that's not the case. It doesn't have to stay bad. We have new mercies from God. We can have a new spirit. We can have a new attitude from the Lord. Then in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31, it talks about a new heart. Now, I'm glad that God can help us to develop a new heart. And our emotions, if you will, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the seat of our emotions. And I'm glad that God can help us with our emotions and we can have a new heart. You know, you can get a new heart toward things. You take, for instance, there's a married couple in here right now, and you say, Brother Owens, our marriage, it's just stagnant. It's stale. Did you know something? God can rekindle and refire that love that you ought to have towards your husband and towards your wife or towards your mate. You can get a new heart about things. I'm glad God lets me get a new heart about serving Him. I'm glad that there's new mercies every morning. I'm glad that we can have a new spirit. I'm glad that our heart can be doctored up and made fresh and new. We didn't read it earlier, but in Psalm chapter 33, verse number 3, it talks about somebody that got a new song. You know, God is for our improving ourselves. God is for our having a freshening of our spirit and a freshening of our attitude and a freshening of the things about our lives and in our life. And there's some of us, we just need to get us a new song in our heart. We need a new song. We need a song for 2008. God gives us a desire to start things out fresh and new. At the beginning of the year, every year now, boy, those of you that are television prone, you're going to see all the talk show hosts and everybody are going to be talking about the new year and New Year's resolutions. I went to a fact gathering website and got some material off of it. Let me tell you of the 10 most popular New Year's resolutions of 2006. Now, we don't know what the most popular ones will be for I'll tell you the ones from 2007, the ones that were made at the beginning of this year. Now, what the popular ones will be for 2008, we don't know that yet. But let me tell you, last year, here are the resolutions that the people in America made. First one, spend more time with family and friends. And I think that's a good resolution. Then exercise. That's number two. Some of you are thinking, yeah, I'm for that in January. The third resolution, and these are not mine. These are not some that I came up with. Number three was lose weight. Let's go to number four. Number four, quit smoking. Number five, enjoy life more. Number six, quit drinking liquor. Number seven, get out of debt. That's a terrible one 3 days after Christmas here. Number eight, get something new. Or no, it said learn something new. Number nine, help others. And number 10, get organized. Now, here they are. Last year, 2007, the resolutions made across the country that were popular. Spending more time with family and friends, exercise, lose weight, quit smoking, enjoy life more, quit drinking liquor, get out of debt, learn something new, help others, and get organized. Now, here's some other statistics that went along with it. 40 to 50% of American adults make one or more resolutions every year. So that means half. That means every other person in this room made some type of a resolution last year. Most of the New Year's resolutions were broken 48 hours later. 2 days later, it was over with. Only about half of us keep our New Year's resolutions for 2 months. So picture it now. Most break their resolution within 48 hours. Half that didn't break it in 48 hours only last 2 months. That's 60 days. Of those who make resolutions, 20% reach their goal. That means 2 out of 10. Half didn't make a commitment to try to do better in their new year. And the ones that did decide to go through with it, only 2 out of 10 succeeded. I've got an idea. You're going to like this. I came up with some resolutions that I know are going to be good. Why do we pick these resolutions that are so hard? Let's pick something that we can do. Let's make it easy. Get this. I've got some resolutions. You're saying, Brother Owens, I'm tired of failing at my resolutions. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you some things. You're going to like this. Here are some that I came up with. Number one, gain more weight. We can do that, okay? So I thought, you know, if we want to succeed, let's pick something that we can handle. So let's make a resolution, gain more weight. And from the response, you're for it. And I'm going to promise you something. This is something you'll last more than 48 hours at. You will become a part of the top 20%. Number two, stop exercising. You're already there. You're already a success. Just trust me. You don't need Dr. Phil. You need Dr. Owens. I'm going to tell you how to succeed in 2008. Gain more weight. Stop exercising. Read less. Read less. Number next, watch more TV. Next, procrastinate more and start tomorrow with this one. Here's another one. Spend more than you make. Sound good? Amen? Okay, so here's some of my suggestions to help you succeed at your resolution in 2008. Gain more weight, stop exercising, read less, watch more TV, procrastinate more, spend more than you make. Here's another one. Eat out more often. That's a good one. Here's another one. Don't finish projects. You could make a commitment in 2008 not to finish your projects and succeed. You can do that all year long. Next, don't swim in shark-infested waters. I can do it. I will succeed. I am determined. I made up my mind. I'm not swimming where there are sharks. Are you for it? This is something you can do. Next, focus on the faults of others more. We can do it, folks. We can do this. Here's another one. Work less and play more. I don't know where everybody comes up with all these other resolutions, but I can tell you, I got a list here. Hey, I got the top 10 Owen resolutions. I'm promising you 100% success, 365 days a year, 52 weeks out of the year. We can do it. We don't have to give up 48 hours later. We can eat ourselves silly this year and make it a part of our resolution. We could do it. But I really believe because at this time of the year, we make some commitments. Something about the new year, it's fresh and exciting. We feel like there's a chance to start over. Well, if that's the case, maybe I could suggest seriously to you some resolutions that somebody here needs to make. Everybody here could make some spiritual resolutions for Jesus Christ. You don't have to promise me anything, but some of you need to get with your God and say, God, this is going to be a new year for me. Some things are going to change this year, God. And if it's and you could do this any time. You could do it any one of the other 51 weeks of the year. But here we are. We're launching into the new year. Why not we make some commitments to God? Why not we decide we're going to do some things for our God, and we're going to take the new year and make it a new year for the cause of Christ. Make it a great year for the cause of Christ. Let me give you some very practical resolutions that you could make for Jesus Christ. For instance, number one, a New Year's resolution for Jesus is you'll win more souls to Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. What would happen if everybody in this building decided, you know something, this year I'm going to influence more people about heaven. I'm going to get more people saved. Hey, some of you need to decide today you're just going to start believing there's a hell. You need to believe that there's a hell. I really think that we don't win more people to Jesus because we're not totally convinced that hell is real. And folks, if we really believe that hell was real and we really believe if someone died without Christ that they were going to spend an eternity burning in hell, we would be much, much more effective and committed to our soul winning efforts. People, hey, listen, every one of us have the responsibility. Whether you're a new Christian here today or you've been in this church since Noah came across on the ark, it doesn't matter how long you've been in here, it is your responsibility to tell others about Jesus Christ. It's not just the preacher's job. It's not just the church staff job. It's every Christian's job. And some of you here need to say, you know what, Brother Owens, you're right. It's 2008. It's a new year. I'm going to tell some people about Jesus this year. I'm going to witness. I'm going to win some to Christ. Those of you that have responsibilities in this church, whether it's in the nursery, the bus ministry, the choir, whatever it is, if you're a Sunday school teacher, an assistant Sunday school teacher, when we recruited you to do those jobs, you promised me that you would go soul winning on a regular basis. It's time for some of you to start keeping that promise. And what about now? How about this? It's 2008. We're within stone's throw of a new year. Make a resolution and say, this year I'm going to care about people and I'm going to try to keep somebody out of hell. Make some goals about winning the lost to Christ. Show up Thursday night at 6:45. Go soul winning with us. Teenagers, some of you need to come out and go out with the teenagers and tell others about Jesus Christ. I've got a good New Year's resolution. How about all of us decide we'll try to keep somebody out of hell this year? How about we do it? How about we take it seriously? Let me give you another spiritual New Year's resolution. Number two, a New Year's resolution for Jesus to faithfully attend church. Hebrews 10:25 says that we're not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You listen to me. The closer we get to the second coming of Jesus Christ, the more people are going to fall out of church. And as we see the day approaching when Jesus is going to come again, we ought to be more faithful to church, not less faithful. And it says here, not forsaking the assembling. That word assembling there is churching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Here it talks about, it's some people's manner not to be faithful to church. It's not, it's their manner. If that's the way they do it. They're just unfaithful and they're uncommitted. Have you become unfaithful to church? I'm not gathering all your excuses and reasons. I'm asking you to answer the question inside your own heart. Have you become unfaithful to church? You used to be faithful to your Sunday school class. Now you're hit and miss. You used to come to church on Sunday morning regularly. Now you're hit and miss. You used to come to church on Sunday night regularly. Now may show up, you may not. You used to go to church on Wednesday night, but you don't come anymore. Maybe you ought to make a simple New Year's resolution and say, God, I'm going to get back in church. And I'm not mad at you. I'm not here to try to make you mad at me. I'm just here to tell you, there are some of you, you've fallen out of church and you need to get back in church. You need to be, hey, you need to get under the spout where the blessing comes out. You need to be in church. You need to be somewhere where somebody loves you and they'll tell you the difference between right and wrong and preach the Word of God to you and get your marriage back on track and get your kids back on track. You need to be in church. Hey, how about a New Year's resolution? I'll just show up every time the church doors open. Some of you need to come tomorrow night to the watch night service. There's somebody here. You've already got a plan to go out with your old friends and they'll be drinking and cussing and dancing and wickedness, and you ought to call it off and show up to church tomorrow night. Call it off and say, no, I'm not going to start my new year out that way. Now, God knows I love you, folks, but I'm going to tell you something. Some of you are going to start the new year. You're going to wake up the day after with a broken heart. And the devil will have stolen from you something so valuable. And you look back and say, I wish I wouldn't have done that last night. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. How about a New Year's resolution of keeping people out of hell? How about a New Year's resolution of being faithful to church and being in your place where you're supposed to be? Thirdly, how about a New Year's resolution of reading your Bible for Jesus? Psalm 119, 105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Folks, I'm just here to tell you, I hold in my hand the only book God ever wrote. You got a Bible with you? Hold it up there for a second. I'm talking about the old-fashioned King James Bible. You've got it, folks. We've got to read it. Right there's our life source. Right there it is. There's where we're going to get the power to live our lives successfully in a nasty old sin-cursed world. Thank you very much. I'm telling you, though, folks, there are people in here, you're not reading your Bibles. How about a New Year's resolution for Jesus that you're going to read in His book every day? Read in His book every day. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to see self-help books. The sale of self-help books go up between December and January because it's the start of a new year and everybody's going to go out and they're going to buy books from a bunch of psychologists and they're going to buy books from a bunch of lecturers trying to figure out how to help themselves. I'm telling you, you've got the old black book. You've got the book written by God. Hey, you've got the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-A. Take your Bible and read it. Read it. Read it. You want to start 2008 right? Get your Bible out. Get your Bible out and read it. Early this morning, I opened my Bible up and I said, Lord, I've got to spend more time in the book this year. I've got to. And folks, you do too. You do too. There are some here. You used to read your Bible all the way through in a year. You stopped. And I'm not telling you have to read your Bible through in a year. The Bible does not command that you do that. But I could recommend to you that you read more, not less. It's time for some of you to pick up the old black book and start reading it again. You know what's happened is some of you, you're getting fed at church and you're learning the Bible at church and you seem to think you only need to eat 3 days a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And you think, I'm getting enough. No, you need to eat every day. You need to learn to eat from the black book at home, not just at church. You need to read your Bible. You need to make sure that you're reading your Bible daily. You need to pick a time when you're going to read your Bible. You need to decide that you're going to read something from that book every day of your life. You used to. Are you backslidden? Have you gotten away from God in your Bible reading? You say, Brother Owens, I need someone to influence me on Monday, not just Sunday. Have you thought about letting God influence you on Monday? You say, how could He do it? The same black book that we preach on Sunday will work at your house on Monday. The Bible. Read the Bible. Stay in the Bible. Feast on your Bible. If you're a brand new Christian, you say, I don't even know where to start. Why don't you go to the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read the stories of Jesus Christ. Go to the book of Psalms and see the heartbreak and the roller coaster of life that David rode upon in his life. But you get in that book and you read it. Everybody's making resolutions. There'll be a bunch of people tomorrow night. They'll have somebody else's wife in their arms. They'll have a belly full of beer. And they'll be making all sorts of resolutions for 2008. Well, I believe at the church house, we ought to be making some resolutions for God. What are those resolutions? We'll win people to Christ this year like never before. We'll attend church and we'll get back in church. And we'll be faithful to church in 2008. We'll read our Bibles. How about a New Year's resolution to pray? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Bible commands us that we're to pray without ceasing. We're not just to have a prayer time, we're to have a prayer life. A prayer life. Some of you, for the very first time in your life, ought to decide in 2008, you're going to begin to pray on a daily basis and regularly. Now, I think it's a good idea that you have a time and a place where you pray. And I think you ought to pray at that time, at that place. But folks, we need to learn to pray about everything. We just ought to pray about everything. Let's pray this year like we have never prayed before. I worry about some. You're getting spiritually educated. You're learning about the Bible. And you're learning the methods and the technology of the ministry. You're learning how to do it. You're learning how to organize ministry and be productive in ministry. But if you're not careful, you'll end up organizing God right out of the ministry. You need God. It doesn't matter how spiritually smart you think you are. You need to humble yourself and fall down before God and pray and beg God for His power and His influence on your life. You need a prayer life. You need to spend time with God. Are you truly walking with God? Are you truly walking with God? There are people in here. You're virtually not spiritual anymore. You used to read your Bible regularly. You don't anymore. You used to pray. You don't anymore. You used to tell others about Christ. You don't anymore. Your church does. You've got a church that has a reputation of those things, but you're not contributing to that reputation because you don't do it anymore. Oh my. I couldn't give you a better New Year's resolution than to pray like you're supposed to pray. You need to pray. I don't know what time it was. Yesterday morning, I woke up extra early. I began to pray. Started my day the way I like to start my day. Somehow, I wake up in the morning, and the first words out of my mouth are, "Good morning, Lord. I love you. I love you, Lord." I began to pray. I began to think about the men in the men's prayer meeting, and I was on my face, and I was praying for every man by name as I prayed. And this is one thing I decided yesterday morning. I will spend this year with my God like never before. I'm going to pray. I want my prayer life to be more than it's ever been before. I don't want an average prayer life. I want to spend time with God, and I want God to look forward to spending time with Jeff Owens. Folks, we need to pray. We need to pray. Why don't you make a New Year's resolution? Why don't you say, God, I'm going to pray this year. There's some of you, I watch you struggle. And I wish I could solve your problems. I can't. I can't solve all your problems. I wish I could. And as your friend, I want to. And as your pastor, I want to. But I can tell you of someone who can. I know the one that you need to know. You need to get close to Christ. You need to pray. And when you say, Brother Owens, it seems like my life and the burdens in my life are bigger than me. And I don't know how I'm going to solve them. And preacher, I came to see you and all you could say is that you'd pray for me. And you felt like that was little. I'm sorry. Sometimes I'll pray for you is not little, it's much, because God's the one that has your answer. Get to God and pray like never before.
I realize what some of you face, and you're not going to solve the problem yourself, and I'm not going to solve the problem, and the whole band of the army of God in this church can't solve your problem. But I know one who can solve your problem, and it's God. And you don't have to get to Him through me. You can go straight to Him. And I beg of you that you decide, while everybody else is out getting drunk tomorrow night, while everybody else is doing their thing, why don't you make a commitment to your God? God, a resolution for you. I'm going to pray. God, I'm going to read my Bible. God, I'm going to tell others about Jesus. God, I'll stay in church. And folks, I'm offering you. You know what? All the people in the world that are making resolutions, you know what they're looking for? Happiness. They're looking for fulfillment. They're looking for success. You say, well, Ramones, that's what we want. I'm telling you how you get it. You stay in church. You stay on your knees. You stay in the book. You keep after sinners. That produces happiness and success in the life of the Christian. I'm sorry. I can't give you any new technology. I just have the old technology written by the one who created technology, the God of the universe. It's not as difficult as what we make it out to be. Hey, let me give you another New Year's resolution. How about the resolution that you will serve Jesus in your local church? The Bible says in Luke 4:8, and Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Boy, we ought to want to serve God. You ought to want to serve God. And you've heard me say this before, but I'm going to tell you again. Serving God is not sitting in a pew. Listen, it's not serving God just because you came in and you plunked her down in your 18 inches or 28 inches of pew or whatever you're taking up this morning. Sitting in a pew is not serving God. There's more to it than that. Now, I'm glad you sat in that pew. I want you there. You say, well, Brother Owens, I don't ever plan to lift a finger to do anything around here. Well, you keep on coming to church because your preacher loves you, and I want you to keep on coming. But I really would like for you to do something for God with your life. Look, if I said to all of you, if I said to guys on the platform, fellas, let's go play some football. And they said, yeah, let's go. Hey, it's time to play football. And we all went out, and boy, all of us were on the field, and we were throwing a football back and forth and kicking the ball and tackling each other. And I looked over, and there was Rick Young sitting on a bench eating hot dogs and nachos and popcorn. And he was just sitting there. And I look over here and I say, what do you think, Rick? He said, I love playing football. Well, sir, we all just keep a playing and throwing the ball and tackling and hiking and blocking and everything. I look over and there's Rick Young sitting with a great big old pizza from the concession stand. He's just sitting there eating on that pizza. He's over there smiling to beat the band like a possum eating honey. I say, Rick, how's it going over? He says, I just love playing football. You say, wait a minute, Brother Owens. He's not doing anything but eating. You're absolutely right. And can I say to you, whether you're in the balcony or on the lower floor, let me explain something to you. Just because you came to church this morning and you plunked her down in that pew and you're feasting off the preaching of the Word of God, that does not mean you're serving God. You may be eating while you're in church, but you're supposed to be doing something with the energy that spiritual food was given to you for. We don't come just to eat. We eat to get the energy to serve. That makes sense to you? Somebody say amen. Thank you. Thank you. My New Year's resolutions, they're not real difficult. I apologize. It's not real deep. The New Year's resolutions that you and I could make is we could tell people about Jesus Christ. Our New Year's resolutions to be as faithful as church, to be as faithful as church is what we should be. Read our Bibles daily like we ought to. Make sure that we pray daily like we ought to. Make sure we're serving God in the church. Get involved. And one of the ways you can get involved right away is start telling others about Jesus Christ. You say, well, Brother Owens, I don't know where or how to get involved. Just go tell somebody about Jesus. Bring them back to church with you tonight. You say, well, where do I get started? Just drive off the property, go find the first unsuspecting sinner you can, corner him, and tell him about Jesus. There's plenty of territory out there. Cut you off a chunk and go to work for God. Anybody can do it. Ask your Sunday school teacher. Go to your Sunday school teacher and say, I want to get more involved. Hey, be willing to change your life and step up in the way you live so we could use you around the church a little bit more. See, you're not going to get a position of leadership while you're living in the world and like the world around here. You're going to have to step up and become a good testimony, and then we can use you to influence people. But we'll find something for you to do, even if you're an ordinary cuss. We'll find something for you to do around here. Be willing to serve God in your church. Hey, here's another New Year's resolution, number 6. My New Year's resolution for Jesus to care for my body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You've heard this teaching over and over again. We call this God's house. But just so you know, God's house is really your body. God lives within you in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. It's time for some of you to stop abusing God's house. Stop abusing God's house. Look, let's say that we have our watch night service tomorrow night. It concludes at 10:30. Everybody goes home. We practice the lockdown. All security systems are up and running. Well, let's say at about 11 o'clock or 11:30, I drive back by the church. I see that something's going on inside the church building. I see that there's a light on and some cars out here. And I pull over and I come in. Let's say I find a bunch of people in this auditorium. They've got out their Budweiser and they've got out their Busch beer and they've got out their liquor. They've got out their Jack Daniels and they're all in here drinking it up in the church auditorium. I'd be upset, would you? You'd be upset because you say, that ought not be going on in the house of God. Well, let me tell you something. It is a worse sin for it to be happening in your body than it would be in this building. And I'm not your enemy, I'm your friend today. Your friend will tell you the truth, but ye are the temple of the living God. When you got saved, God moved into you and He lives inside you. And you should not be putting liquor inside the house of God. If I came in here late tomorrow night, we'd lock the buildings up and we'd all gone home. But I came back by the church and when I walked in, the entire inside of the auditorium was filled with smoke. I mean, smoke everywhere. So, Brother Owens, what would you do? Well, I'd call the fire department. I want to put her out. I came in here, and let's just say there were 50 people in here sucking cigarettes, cigars down as fast as they could, just blowing smoke all over the inside of the church building. You'd say, Brother Owens, that ought not be. Oh, I hate to tell you this. But it'd be better blowing smoke inside this building than blowing smoke inside your body. God does not live in this building. God lives in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. And just so you all know, you look at me and you listen to me. I don't want you to storm out of here mad. I am your friend and I love you. I'd like to save your life. You're destroying yourself. You're hurting your testimony. You say, Brother Owens, I've tried and it's so hard to give up. If you want help, I'd be glad to try to help you. I'm not your enemy. I'm not trying to look down on you. Indeed, there are habits that people develop and they're very difficult to give up. And I'm not here coming to you as a Pharisee. I'm not coming to you to beat you up. I'm coming to you to say somebody needs to tell you the truth and somebody that loves you needs to tell you the truth. I am your friend. You know what? You already know it. There's not a person here that needs me to enlighten you. You're already enlightened. You just need to get in your Bible. You need to pray. You need to show up at church. You need to tell others about Jesus Christ. You need to serve God. And you know something? If you'll really get on some of these things, we'll overcome some of the things that are destroying your body. And hey, look, and let me tell you all something. I don't need everybody in this auditorium to go around preaching to everybody if you see somebody around town, you know, sucking on a camel. Now, that's funny. I don't need you to go preaching to them. I tell you what I'd really like for you to do. If you see somebody that comes to our church and they have a habit that is destroying them, I'd really rather than you go talking about them, that you pray for them. Because I'm going to guess most anybody that's got the bad habits would like to get away from them. I really believe that. I believe that. I believe you want to get away from the bad habits. Well, how about that if we see someone that is in captivity to something that shouldn't be going on in their life, rather than dogging them and attacking them, let's pray for them. Hey, you that would be critical and you that would attack somebody that's got a bad habit in their life, when was the last time you took one whole day and fasted for them? And because you have so much self-control and you could give up food for a couple days, maybe you could spend a couple days on your face in prayer, fasting for somebody else that seems to have a weak character. If you really care, or are you just a Pharisee? Oh, but let's take care of our bodies. Take care of your body morally. Take care of your body. Get away from the liquor or the cigarettes. Or get away from the moral improprieties. Young people, you be reminded that if you're pure and you're virgin, you're to stay that way until the day you get married. You say, but Brother Owens, I've already made the mistake. I'm sorry for you. Well, why don't you decide to be clean from this day forward then? It ought to be that somebody here needs to change. And again, I'm not trying to be mean to you. Somebody here probably needs to change your eating habits so you'll last longer for Jesus Christ and your body will be healthier. New Year's resolutions. Let me quickly give you a couple of others. My New Year's resolution for Jesus is to give up of sin. Matthew 3:2, the Bible says, and saying, repent ye, repent. Did you know you're supposed to repent of your sins? We're supposed to repent. Now, we know the Bible teaches once you're saved, you're always saved. But just so you know, Sugar Plum, that does not give you a license to live like an animal. You say, well, I'm saved, always saved. I know I'm saved. I'm glad you are. And once you're saved, you're always saved. But you're supposed to live right. You're to get the sin out of your life. Somebody here today in this service needs to target a sin in your life and say, you need to say, that's wrong and I'm going to stop it. With God's help, I'm going to overcome that sin in my life. We need a New Year's resolution of getting the sin out of our lives, repenting of a sin. Somebody here, you're stealing from your boss. It's time for you to repent and stop it. Is it lying? Repent. Stop it. Turn from it. Stop it. Beg for God's help. Is it cheating? What is it? Is it the wrong kind of music? What is it? Laziness? What is it? What is it? Is it, are you a negative person? A gossiper? I would like to save somebody's marriage today. Is it adultery? I hate to say it, but there's probably nearly 1,000 people, 900 people here today. Good chance with that many people, there's somebody here that is either participating in adultery or some young person participating in fornication. Won't you do this? Won't you let a preacher that loves you say to you at the launching of a new year, stop it. Stop it. Go to God and say, God, I want to stop this. And I'm giving up this sin today. I'm starting the new year fresh and clean with a clean slate. Is it hate? It ought not be that the people in God's house hate each other. It ought not be that people in God's house dislike each other. We're supposed to love one another. That's still in the Bible, isn't it? Loving one another. My New Year's resolution to give up a sin. My New Year's resolution. Oh, you're really going to dislike this one. Ugh. Anybody want to guess what it is? Has to do with money. Anybody want to guess? Some of you. You're the winner! Some of you need to learn to tithe. It's giving 10% of your income to the church. You say, I knew they'd preach on that junk if I came down here. Yeah, buddy, and you're the one I'm after. I knew you was coming. Everybody told me you were coming, and all 900 other people been praying against you. We hate you, and we're trying to destroy you. We knew you was coming, and we knew you'd leave mad, and we're doing it on purpose just for you. The Bible teaches we're to give 10% of our income to the Lord. That is our gross income. Mrs. Owens and I were sitting down the other day figuring up all the gift cards that we got and tithing on our gift cards. Wow. We got gift cards to Walmart and Kmart and Pizza Hut,
Got another gift card right here from Jared. His phone went off in the service. Thanks, Jared. Appreciate that. Is your phone on? It's not on right now? Brother Leek, I got a rule here. Your cell phone goes off during my preaching service, you have to buy me a pizza. And I want one to go off a week. We like pizza at our house. I mean, we got gift cards. We got gift cards to Cracker Barrel. And we got gift cards to Red Lobster. And Mrs. Owens got gift cards to Joe's Bar and Grill. I told her, I said, honey, you can't go down there. She said it was a gift from somebody at the church. We tithe on all of it. Why? That's what we were supposed to do. It was increase that God had provided for us. There are people in here. You've been stealing God's money. I'm not your enemy. By the way, I don't say what I say with any animosity in my heart. I'm not against anybody. And if you get irritated, I wish you'd do this. I wish you'd take it up with God. I didn't write this book. I just preach it. And it is my job to say the kind of things that I'm saying. And I'm not against you. I'm for you. And you say it's rough. Hey, it's not easy for anybody to tithe. We don't all say, yeah, I'm going to give away my money. We're not like that. You say, well, the Bible says you ought to give with a cheerful heart. Yes, you should. But keeping your heart sad doesn't get you out of the responsibility. You say, Brother Owens, I ain't ever been happy about it, so I don't have to do it. Wrong again. It's time for some of you to catch up on your tithing. You ought to do it before the day's out. And your faith promise. Hey, how about the New Year's resolution of being a joy-filled Christian? Philippians 4:4, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, there are way too many sad Christians in this life. There's way too many mad people and way too many frowns. We need to get a smile on our face. And I realize you go through heartache. And I realize you have times of pain, and I realize there are times of burden. And I try to help you carry your burden around here. Oh, do we preach on the burdens of God's people and how to make it and how to take it. But I'm telling you, folks, let's go into 2008 and let's believe that there's a heaven. Let's believe that we're going there. Let's believe, hey, as you go through 2008, maybe you ought to make your theme song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? I'm telling you, folks, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know what you're coming. I don't know what you're going through today, but I know what you're going to go through one day. Where if you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. That's worth smiling about. No matter what we go through down here, I know our end. We win in the end. You won't be under the gun forever. Get a smile on your face and you say, you just tell people, I'm saved and I know where I'm going. Now what we're going to go through between here and there, I can't tell you. We'll go through it together. But when we get to heaven, this whole mess will be done away with. I'm going to smile about it. I'm going to smile. Time for some of you to be happy Christians. You ever met one of those people where you don't dare ask them how it's going? How you doing? Man, they'll talk for 20 minutes. I mean, I'm telling you, they'll tell you everything that's wrong with everybody. Now, I don't mind somebody telling me when they have a burden or tell me they have a heartache. I just don't want them to tell me everybody's heartaches and everybody's burdens and my own. Somebody here needs to make a New Year's resolution to get a smile on your face and get the joy of God down in your soul. Get Him in your heart. You say, well, how in the world am I going to do that, Brother Owens? Let me give you some advice. If you'd like to have a happy Christian life, try this. Try becoming a soul winner. Try becoming faithful to church. Try reading your Bible daily. Try praying daily. Try serving God in the church. Try treating your body right. Try getting the sin out of your life. Try giving to God like you're supposed to give to God. And all of a sudden, it gets easier to smile. Let me conclude by saying, some of you just need an overhaul. Somebody here needs an overhaul. You need your life changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold. I like that word. Behold.
That's life. Zowie. Let me tell you what God can do. Behold, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. If you're not saved here today, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and get saved. Get yourself started out right in 2008. But let me tell you this. Those of you that are saved, there's some of you, you're saved, you're not living for God, you're running with the wrong crowd, wrong entertainments, you're not living right, you're not thinking right, you're not acting right. Some of you just need a total facelift with your Christianity. Somebody here needs to say this. You know what, Brother Owens? I played around with this thing of church. I mess around. I'm a fake. It's time for me to come clean. I'm saved, but I'm not living right. I'm giving the church a bad reputation. I'm giving myself a bad reputation. And today, my New Year's resolution for 2008 is to change my life for God. Now, I'm not telling you how to do it by yourself, because Jesus will help you with it and will help you with it. But we need somebody here just to have a spiritual facelift. Oh, but let me say, if you're not saved, I can highly recommend salvation to you. Say, why? One thing you'll like about it, it's free. You won't get a bill at the end of the month for salvation. It's been paid for by another. Paid for in full. Doesn't need a warranty. No chance of it breaking down. You wouldn't have to buy an extended warranty on your salvation. I'll tell you why. Because once He saves you, He does it all. And it's for eternity. And you'll never have to wonder if it's going to break down halfway through life on you. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be or could be, shall be. And that's a promise from God. If you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior today. The world will be making its New Year's resolutions. I'm glad that God encourages us about what can be new in our lives. He talks to us about His new mercies and a new spirit that we can develop and a new heart and a new song in our lives. Everybody makes their resolutions. Well, I think we ought to make some resolutions for Jesus. They're not real complicated. They're the keys to the Christian life. Very simply, tell others about Jesus. Be faithful to church. Read your Bible. Pray. Serve God. Take care of the temple of God, your body. Give the sin up in your life. Give to God financially like you're supposed to. You end up being a joy-filled Christian. And God will have changed your life. That'd make pretty good New Year's resolution for all of us, wouldn't it? We make the Christian life a little bit too difficult. I wish you'd all band together with me today and say, you know, Brother Owens, I am going to make some resolutions. And they're going to be some of those simple resolutions right there. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My first question will be to the lost. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, listen to this old-fashioned preacher say to you today, God loves you. God loves you, and if you're not saved, we want to show you how to be born again in a matter of a moment. We can take the Scripture. We'll take you from Scripture to Scripture to Scripture to Scripture, and we'll show you how you can be born again. If you will merely trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you repent, you turn to God, He'll save you. He will save you. Is there anybody here that would say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not born again. Pray for me. I'm not saved. Pray for me, preacher. I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I need a new start in 2008. Start it by getting saved. Start it by trusting Christ as Savior. Good, I see that hand. Who else? Just say, I'm not saved. I'm not born again. I need to be saved. Good, I see that hand. Who else? Just say, I'm not born again. I need to be saved. Here's what's going to happen. In a moment, we're going to have an altar call. And what that means is this. In a second, the instrumentalist will begin to play. Then we'll all stand. The choir will begin to sing a song of invitation. If you're not saved, I want you to leave your seat after we all stand. You walk toward the front. There'll be men standing at the end of each aisle down front. You walk up to them and say, I want to be born again. We have people that are trained spiritual people that can take the Bible and show you how you can be born again this morning. You walk into this building on your way to hell. You can walk out of this building on your way to heaven, all because of Jesus Christ and the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You can have that today. If you're not saved, I wish you'd come. But let me ask the Christians here today, who here would say, Brother Owens, I need to make some spiritual resolutions. Used to read my Bible, but not like I ought to. Not anymore. Used to be a praying person, but I just dabble now. used to witness, used to tell others about Christ. Who here would say, Brother Owens, either I used to and I'm not, or I never really have. I've never really done those things, and I need to become spiritual. And in 2008, I'm going to make a new commitment to my God. Who here would raise your hand and say, that's me, preacher. I needed that. There's something there that I desperately needed. Oh, my hands. There must be 200-300 hands all over the building. Could I recommend it for some of you? Maybe you ought to start at the altar today and just walk the aisle, come down here, get on your face and say, God, I'm going to make you a promise or two. And listen, you go to God. You don't go to God real cocky and arrogant and say, God, I'm going to do this. You go to God and you say, God, with your help, God, humbly, I come today and I want to change my life for the better. There's a bunch of you need the altar. There's somebody here, you're not saved. You raised your hand. There are many somebodies. You come and you get saved. If you've been saved and never baptized, why don't you come? Follow the Lord in believers' baptism.